All right, tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. We're going to be reading in Genesis and Hebrews and Jude. We're going to be reading about one individual, one person. His name is Enoch. He's a pretty familiar name in the Scripture. You have to be careful when you study the Scripture because there was a whole lot of Enochs and different groups and different families. But tonight we're going to be studying the one that is given to us in the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. And the first thing you think about with Enoch was that he did not die. He was translated. He was taken from this world and directly taken into heaven. And the Bible talks about his proclaiming the Lord. He just had a vast knowledge of some things that were yet a whole lot in the future for him, and some of it still even in the future for you and I. But we'll read tonight in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 21. Genesis 5:21, we'll read down through verse 24, and then we'll turn over to Hebrews 11. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech." And then it begins to give you some more of the genealogy of his family. Now, if you would turn over to the book of Hebrews, this verse, we've used it many times. Genesis doesn't give you any detail about Enoch other than he walked with God and he was not. Doesn't give you any details about his life. And Hebrews tells us some things about just a glimpse into the life of Enoch, and says in verse number 5, of Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." In Genesis it says he walked with God. In Hebrews it says he pleased God. And so I believe we can take from that, if you walk with the Lord, that's pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord took him, and he did not see death. And then that verse number 6 is a verse that we use so many times concerning faith. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." So Enoch walked with God. Enoch was pleased with God. Enoch had a testimony. But then verse 6 tells us it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. So we know that Enoch had great faith. "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." All right, and then turn over to the little book of Jude right before Revelation, and we'll read verse number 14 and verse number 15. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So here we find these three main scripture texts concerning Enoch. He tells us that he walked with God. It tells us he had faith. And it tells us here that he prophesied. So he was a proclaimer of things yet in the future. Someone asked, who was the first prophet in the Scripture? And I guess you'd have to go back and say it was Enoch, because the Scripture says he was the seventh from Adam. So he, if you look on that timeline back there, he's a long way back to the first of it. The seventh from Adam, and he prophesied. And he prophesied some things that we are still prophesying, that the Lord's going to come, and he's going to come with his saints. And so what Enoch preached and what we preach is the same thing. Even though we have much more detail, we have much more maybe understanding and seeing some things work out. But Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come with 10,000 of His saints, and He's coming to execute judgment. And so that's the message that we have tonight, that the Lord's coming. And when He comes, He's going to bring forth judgment upon this world that has rejected His Son, rejected the work of God and the Word of God, the message of the Lord. And Enoch tells us, and he says that the Lord's coming with His saints, and when He comes, He's bringing judgment. And you'll notice who the judgment is upon. It's upon the ungodly. It's verse number 15 has ungodly in it 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Ungodly men, ungodly deeds, their ungodly things, deeds they've committed, ungodly sinners. The word there describes the generation when the Lord's going to bring judgment. And I know every generation has been ungodly, but my goodness, the Scripture tells us that man's love is going to wax worse and worse. Man's going to continue to get farther away from God, and one of these days the Lord's going to come. And we're going to go up with Him in rapture, but He's coming again the second time. And the Bible says we're coming with Him. And that's what Enoch prophesied back thousands of years, even before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Enoch's an interesting individual in the Scripture. There's not a whole lot given to us about him, but what is given, you might, there's so many things that you can could look into. You can't think about Enoch without thinking about his great faith. He walked with God. He pleased the Lord. He honored God. He proclaimed the message of the Lord. And Enoch lived a long time ago, ages ago. And by the way, he wasn't an ignorant caveman that some people would like to make us believe that thousands of years ago men were. But he had intelligence. He believed God. He trusted God. He walked with God. And so he lived in a wicked generation of ungodliness and people that denied the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like the groups of people today, ungodly and godly. It's never been any different. The larger group is always the ungodly. Somebody asked the question, will there be more people in heaven or more people in hell? I believe the Lord reveals to us that there's going to be more people in hell than heaven, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to righteousness through the Lord Jesus. And so we are called the righteous because we believe and we trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just look at a few things that we can glean from these few verses that we read tonight concerning Enoch and his walk with the Lord. We find that he had a turning to God somewhere in his life. The Scripture doesn't tell us, doesn't give us any indication at all about his time of coming to the Lord, but it does tell us that he walked with God. It gives us a time frame about some things that we'll look at in a little bit, but not sure when he realized he needed a deliverer. Not sure he realized he had a need in his own life, but it may have been around that age that's given to us here, that in chapter number 5, around 65, we suppose that, or supposition is made on that, but we don't know that. But we do know that he turned to the Lord. We do know that he had a relationship to God. We know that he had an understanding of the Lord. He was a different individual than the generation that he lived. You and I tonight, as a believer, we ought to be a different individual than how folks live around us. We ought to have a different life, a different style, different testimony. Everything about us should be different because the Lord has made us different. He has saved us and given us a new life. But he had a son, very well-known son in the Scripture, for one reason, primarily. He lived longer than anybody else that's ever lived. He had a son named Methuselah. And there's something connected with that that we'll look at in just a little bit. But faith came to Enoch, and God was real to him. God was so real to him that he was walking with the Lord and he was serving God. And he realized that one day judgment was going to fall upon his generation. And his generation was wicked like our generation is, because before Enoch, as time goes on, you're drawing closer and closer to the catastrophic flood that came upon this earth, that God judged man because of their wickedness. And so Methuselah lived in a generation that of people that denied the God of heaven. We don't know their lifestyle. We don't know some of the things they did. Genesis doesn't give us a lot of things about that. But when you come to chapter number 6, you find out that there's a problem in that generation. Genesis chapter 6 tells us that that God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. He saw that generation after generation was wicked. And we read chapter 5 and jump to chapter 6 like it's almost immediate, but you got a number of year period in between there as man gradually and continually got away from the Lord. But when God looked and he saw the wickedness of man. I believe when Enoch walked and looked and saw his generation, he saw that same wickedness and he prophesied against it, that God was going to bring judgment upon that wicked generation, that ungodly generation. So there was a time in his life that he turned to the Lord. We're not given any details, but we know he did, because God tells us here in these verses that he walked with him and that he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And then the next little phrase, and he was not. Now, we don't get any details of what happened. We don't find that out till the New Testament. God translated him. God took him out. And so his faith was coming to the Lord. One day I had faith and I came to the Lord. One day you had faith and you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said all along, all my ministry, that salvation in Genesis is just like salvation in Revelation. Salvation in the Word of God has always been the same. It's a believing faith in the God of heaven. And, of course, different generations and different people had different ways and different things of knowing and different levels of understanding. But we use what God gives us, and we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that Enoch had a faith in coming to God. And he came to him so close that he walked with him and he pleased the Lord. That's something to say, that I'm pleasing the Lord. It's something when the Lord says, you're pleasing unto me. And so Enoch had faith to come unto the Lord. He traveled with God. He walked with God. His faith not only was a faith to bring him to God, but his faith was a faith that was a faith that continuing in his life, he just walked with the Lord. He walked in a generation that was corrupt and on every hand, but yet Enoch walked with God. I would say probably in Enoch's generation and those people around him of his, maybe his own relatives, maybe those of his community, I'm sure they looked at, some of them looked at Enoch and said, boy, he's a strange person. You know, why? Because he walked with God. His faith not only brought him to the Lord, his faith continued where he could walk with the Lord in his daily walk with in life. A life of communion and fellowship with God. A life that was pleasing to the Lord. It was a walk that was outside the course of this world. Now, the New Testament tells us that this world is on a course. And we know what a course is. There's all kind of courses in our life. There's race courses and there's different ways of travel, and it's called a course. There's a golf course, and you follow certain directions on that. There's a basketball court, and the courses that we have is just directions that we follow. And so his life of fellowship and communion with the Lord was outside the course of the world. He didn't walk with the ungodly. He didn't walk with the unpleasing people and the unrighteous, but he walked with God. So the scripture says he continued, had a continual progress in his life. God told Abraham to walk before him. And Abraham walked before the Lord. God told Ishmael to walk after him. And he told Enoch, and he walked with him. And so there's a continual process in this thing of walking with God. He had a different communion. He had a different character because he was controlled by the Lord. Because his God, his Lord, his master was one that was dictating to him a different way of life. And then I'm sure he stood out in his community. So he had a faith to come to the Lord. He had a continual faith. And I think he had a consistent faith. Had a faith that he trusted in God consistently. One thing we need in our Christian circles today is this thing of consistency. Being the same today and tomorrow, the next day, next year, being the same as we were and the same as we will continue to be. And so the scripture says, I believe he was consistent in his life. And the Bible says that God dictated unto him, or God gave to him direction, and he followed that. And I believe in his life, God came first. We would call Enoch a seventh generation Christian. He was that seventh from Adam, and his generation was ungodly, but he walked with God. He served the Lord, and God came first. God was the center of his life. He was consistent in his living, and I believe those around him recognized that. I know God recognized it because he makes mention of him. So he trusts in the Lord. He takes the Lord. He continually serves God. He continually deals with the things of the Lord. He travels with God. All these things is a result of his coming unto the Lord and being sold out to the things of his God. So we find that he trusted, he traveled, he continued on with the Lord, and now we find faith controls him. I believe he talks with God. He had a testimony, he had a life that would give testimony that he had a relationship with the Lord. God told Enoch two secrets, so we know that he talked with the Lord. He said, two secrets? Enoch knew some things that nobody else knew. Enoch understood some things that no one else knew. He knew that judgment was coming. He tells us in the book of Jude that the Lord's coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. And so God had told him that judgment is coming. Enoch really was as much a proclaimer of the judgment of God as Noah was. And he was as much proclaiming the message of the Lord as you and I do, because we have that message of judgment. Methuselah, when he died, the scripture tells us that when Methuselah died, then judgment fell. And God had told Enoch that when he died, judgment would fall. And so he begins to preach the judgment of the Lord. Now, Methuselah, we know, who lived longer than any person that's ever lived upon the face of this earth. And when Methuselah was born, those 900 some odd years later on, judgment was going to fall. And when he dies, I believe the flood came. The generation of the flood would be upon us. I was back there looking at the timeline even before church, trying to get in my mind all these generations that are together. And you can find that when Methuselah line ends, you can find the flood is there. And so I believe Enoch understood that his son was a representation of the grace of God, that he would have those years of proclaiming truth. And so Methuselah was a message given to Enoch from the Lord. And the second message, God told Enoch that the Lord was coming the second time. He's coming with 10,000 of his saints. And so we find that Enoch had a message. He proclaimed that message, and he had the faith that was controlling him in his life. The only way you get a message from the Lord is to, in our generation, is to get in his word, to get into the word of God. Now, in Enoch's generation, God spoke directly to men. We find over and over again that God said, and God said to Abraham, God spoke to Jacob, God gave them messages directly to them. Well, you and I tonight, we don't have to have that. We don't need that. It doesn't matter what some people say. We do not have revelations from God. We have the revelation. It's called the Word of God. We have the message of the Lord. Nothing put to it, nothing added or taken from it, because we have the completed message and text of God. Now, there are other books, there are other even histories during the different times of the Word of God that sheds lights on some things that were happening during that time. During the life of Jesus, there was a man by the name of Josephus, and he gave some history and gives some things that were going on during that time. But their words are not inspired, but these words are, that come directly from God. We don't hear the voice of God, but we have the Word of God. And Enoch talked with God continually in his walk with the Lord. Now, he had a great testimony. And only three words have to be said about the testimony of Enoch. His faith commended him, and he had this testimony. What? He pleased God. He said, well, that's not many words. Boy, that's a big statement. We please God. Enoch pleased God. All to be pleasing the Lord. That ought to be the desire of every Christian. That ought to be the desire of every child of God, that we would please our Lord. He has done so much for us, and may our faith commend us to others that we have a pleasing God, and God has directed His ways to us. And so we find that the life of Enoch is not a whole lot different than our life. Even though he lived thousands of years before, he's the seventh from Adam. And tonight, if you go back there and look, you can trace. It's interesting. It's almost mind-boggling to you and I that just read the Scripture and do not put things together. It's very interesting to find out how many people in the Bible were living at the same time, because they lived so long. Lived generation after generation, and year after year, hundreds of years. And the Scripture tells us here that Enoch, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and he walked with God. Well, Enoch lived a short life compared to his son. Enoch lived a short life compared to Adam. And some of these men that we know and read about in the Scripture, in the book of Genesis, it's hundreds of years, and their lives overlap, and the time overlaps with that. I believe, I may be wrong, I looked at it tonight, but I believe Adam and Enoch were living at the same time. And that almost makes us have a... it's hard for us to comprehend that length of age. But all the years that he lived, he had this testimony. He pleased God. And so in different passages of the Bible, I haven't read them all tonight, Enoch is mentioned in the book of Luke. He's mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes from Jesus all the way back to Adam. And right down there close to the end of it, there's Enoch and his father and the generations that they lived. And so his life was different. His life was one of continual walking with the Lord. He walked so much with the Lord and so close to the Lord that he just disappeared. You know, that's what's going to happen to us one day. We're going to disappear. And I don't think it's going to be such a big to-do as some people maybe think, but I believe when the Lord comes and we hear the sound of the trumpet, we're gone. We'll be walking with the Lord, and we're gone, and we're serving. And so the last thing about Enoch was that he had a translation. He had a move made by the Lord. His faith now has not just started, has not just continued on. It hasn't just controlled his life and hasn't just commended his life to us, but now his faith is consummated. Now his life has come to an end. His faith is totally because of the Lord. Enoch was about 300 years old when Adam died. And so we find that overlapping, but he walked with God. And we find that God took him. That's all the scripture says. Enoch walked with God, and then it says, and he was not. You know, one of these days, could be tonight, could be tomorrow. One of these days, as we walk our daily walk with the Lord, praying and hoping we have a faith that will be seen by others and have a testimony, have a consistent, continual faith in the Lord. As we walk with the Lord, one of these days, we will not be. One of these days, we'll just be gone because the Lord shall come. And Paul tells us in Thessalonians that we're going to be gathered unto Him. We're going to be taken out. We'll be of that harvest that goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that Enoch disappears. Only 365 years. Only? That sounds like a long time to me. But generation, the early generations, they didn't have all the problems that we have. We didn't have all the difficulties of the flesh because sin has not been as rampant. And God now takes Enoch and he goes home to be with his Lord. God puts his stamp of approval upon this man because he was not. And he says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Thank goodness for the last four words, for God took him. He was walking with the Lord. He was serving God. He may have been proclaiming the judgment of the Lord as he walked with God. Gone. What a way to go. I believe Brother Sisson preached a message on that years ago. What a way to go. And what a way to leave this world, being ushered out of this world into the next world just by the Lord gathering unto us. God just took him out of his wicked world that he lived in. One day God's going to take us out of our wicked world. God removed him from the generation that he lived, and God removed his voice. God removed his message. One of these days, the message of the Lord, the message of the true church will be gone. It'll not be here. The Lord will take us. We'll be gathered unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are proclaiming the same message that Enoch did. The Lord cometh with his saints to execute judgment on all the ungodly. Their ungodly deeds, their ungodly ways, their ungodliness of the whole life, the Lord's coming to execute judgment. So Enoch, he's only mentioned a few times in Scripture, maybe four or five different books. You have Genesis, you have Hebrews, you have Jude, you have Luke, and maybe one other place. Those four are offhand. Only four books in the Scripture talk about this man, Enoch. Not a whole lot of words. There's a whole lot more said about David. There's a whole lot more commentary about even King Saul. There's a lot of commentary about, there's more said about John the Baptist. There's more said about most everybody in the Scripture other than Enoch. But I tell you what, there's only a few people that say, please God, walked with the Lord. Here he tells us two times, in verse number 22 and verse number 24, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with the Lord, and God took him. May God give us the same ability to walk and to serve and to be that type of believer that when the world looks at us, they say, boy, that individual, they're different. When somebody tells you you're different because you're a Christian, I just say thank you. Because that is a compliment. They may not mean it as a compliment, but it is because it tells us that they recognize we're not like everybody else. And we don't need to be like everybody else. We don't need to be like the world. The world is ungodly. The world is wicked. We need to be that testimony that's saying the Lord is coming to execute judgment. We're to be that one that warns our generation of judgment. And thank God Enoch did that, and God took him. We can do that, and God will take us. We're going all the same place, and because we believe the Lord Jesus. I pray God to help us to be an Enoch in our world, to our family, to our circle of people that we know. And we may not know a whole lot of people, but we can be faithful. We may not know multiples of different individuals, but we can be faithful to those that we do know, that our Lord is real and that we walk with Him. So may God help us to accomplish that and to do that in our generation. Why? Because the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. He's coming again. Same message as Enoch had 8,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. Ever how far you go back. I don't think it's 1,000,000 years ago. I don't think we go that far. As far as you go back, the message has always been the same. We can walk with the Lord. We can have faith with God. And we can tell the truth that Jesus, that God, will judge this world. Let's stand together.